We'll start the share in a minute. Yeah. Okay. We have the insights of Rabbeinu Yonah and a big chiddush with regard to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is that since the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos is derived from a special ribui of Kol Yimei Chayecha, and the Torah doesn't say Laila, therefore this man for Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is earlier than Laila. In other words, the standard for Laila would normally, and all mitzvah Torah would be Seisa Kochavim, but here we can start and we can fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias earlier at the time period of or past Shkia Sachama. And it sounds very difficult to us. Okay, so you derive this mitzvah from a ribui of kol. I grant you that, but what are we saying over here? At the end of the day, we have Yom and Laila. We have a mitzvah Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim by day. We have mitzvah Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim by night. We should anticipate that the standard of Laila that applies in uniformly, or shall we say universally, should apply to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. Then Rabbeinu Yonah has another chiddush, and he says that even according to the Chachamim, who allow Tfilas Mincha against Rabbi Yehuda past Plaga Mincha, it doesn't go all the way till Seisa Kochavim. The latest time for Mincha would be Shkia Sachama. And take it a step further, says Rabbeinu Yonah, for as far as the Zman of Mairiv, of Arvis is concerned, we can begin with Shkia Sachama. So on the one end, we assume that Tfilas Arvis is a Tfilas Laila, and universally, Laila begins with Seis HaKochavim. And indeed, Rabbeinu Yonah belongs to that school of thought that Kriyat Shema itself requires Seis HaKochavim. Yet, with regard to Mairiv, which has a Tfilas Laila, nevertheless, it's going to begin with Shkia Sachama. And therefore, Rabbeinu Yonah assumes the same halacha should apply to Birchas Kriyat Shema, and you can be able to say the mitzvah of Birchas Kriyat Shema in that period of time before Laila, after Shkia Sacham. So we want to understand Rabbeinu Yonah, but that's not where it ends. The plot grows thicker when we see other Rishonim. Everyone seems to add another difficulty to try to figure out when Laila begins, when Yom ends. For example, we have the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says in Masechta Zvachim on Daf Nun Amud Aleph that although Laila begins with Seis HaKochavim, L'chol Dini L'chol Mitzvah Torah, and Rabbeinu Tam would hold, for example, that you could have Mincha all the way till Seis HaKochavim, he doesn't accept, you know, the shita of Rabbeinu Yonah that the Sof Zman Tfilas Mincha is Shkia. But nevertheless, he has a problem because he doesn't know how to fit Mincha into the standard of Tfilos Keneged Karbanos Tikna. And he has a halacha called Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama. Now, if Rabbeinu Tam was telling me that Dam Nifsal V'Shkia Sachama engenders some sort of halach of Safek, which we'll talk about in Mirtz Shem a little bit later, there's something called Bein HaShmashos. On the one hand, the sun set. On the other hand, the stars haven't come out yet. There's still light on the horizon. So that whole ambiguity, you know, that time period which we don't know how to define it, whether it belongs to yesterday, it belongs to Yom, or it belongs to tomorrow because it's after Shkia, it's Laila. So that's called Bein HaShmashos Safek. If Rabbeinu Tam would apply the halach of Safek and say that we have to avoid Safek, even though Tfilas Mincha is a Safek Derabanan, and the Shagasari for one is of the opinion that something to Rabbanu Lekula could apply to Mincha, but Rabbeinu Tam doesn't do that. He doesn't take the halach of Safek and apply it to Tfilus Mincha. He's stuck with the following problem, because Mincha depends upon Zman Karman, and Zman Karman terminates with Shkia Sachama, Dam Nisov Shkia Sachama. So Rabbeinu Tam says that we're going to have to establish that the latest time for Tfilas Mincha is Shkia Sachama, and the reason for that is because of the halacha of Tfila Keneged Karbanas Tiknu and Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama. But the oddity of it is, when Rabbeinu Tam is the, of all the Rishonim, he's perhaps the most outspoken about the fact that Yom continues until Tzeis HaKochavim. And Rabbeinu Tam assumes that even after Shkia, it's still considered Yom for a period of Dalet Milin. And we're going to only cut off the last, let's say, 15 minutes or so because of Gimel Revi Mil, which is called Ben HaShemashas. But really it's Yom all the way till Tzeis HaKochavim. And then Rabbeinu Tam says, but Dam Nifsal V'Shkia Sachama. Wait a minute. It's still Yom. And Rabbeinu Tam quotes a pasuk. It says, B'Yom Hikrivo. B'Yom Hikrivo therefore tells me that the latest time for the Karman is Shkia. That's paradoxical. Because the latest time for the Karman should be Tzeis HaKochavim. Why? Because the Torah says, B'Yom Hikrivo. And Yom Hikrivo, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Yom extends all the way till when? Till Tzeis HaKochavim, till Laila. So on the one hand, Rabbeinu Tam is telling me that there's this some brand new halacha with regard to Karbanos, that even though the day continues until Tzeis HaKochavim, nevertheless the last time for the Karban is Shkia, which is way before Laila. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam derives that halacha from the pasuk B'Yom Hikrivo, which means that you have to be makriv it B'Yom. Well, you just told me that Yom extends until Tzeis HaKochavim. And then we have a third Rishon that boggles our mind, and that's the Ravid. The Ravid tells us in his introduction to Masechta Pesachim, Arli Arvasa, that the time for B'dikas Chametz is during this period of what we call post Shkia Sachama. There's still light, and that's why the Mishnah used the word R, and that's when we're going to institute and fulfill the mitzvah of B'dikas Chametz. Once again, the old question comes back to haunt us. If our standards of Yom and Laila, the transition or the inception of Laila, is Tzeis HaKochavim, then why is the mitzvah of B'dikas Chametz being established before Tzeis HaKochavim? It's a mitzvah that belongs to the 14th of Nisan, not to the 13th of Nisan. So you could say that the Rabbanon decided to make it a little earlier. And it's a mitzvah, the Rabbanon, Hein Amru V'Heim Amru, they decided for some unknown reason, they want to start a little bit earlier. However, the Ravid goes a step further. And he penetrates into the territory of Doraisas. And he's talking about the Melos of Yoledes. The law is that Yoledes gets this 80-day period. And Hadam is Dam Tahar until the end of the 80th day. With the inception of the 81st day, the new day, which is the 81st day, her malos is complete, and now she can start a new malos. So for example, if she sees Dam going into the 81st day, like the night of the 81st day, then that Dam is Dam Tomei. And not only that, if she has a Leda, if she has a Hapola, then she has to bring another Karban Chatos because of the Karban of the new Malos. So you and I would ask ourselves the following question, and I think we'd have a clear-cut answer. When do we make this transition between the 80th day, completing the old Malos, and the new day, the 81st day, which starts a new Malos? At what point in time should we pinpoint? Let's pinpoint a moment in time. What would you call that moment in time? When the new day begins. It would be Tzeis HaKochavim. Comes on the right and he says, name the halacha of R, which means that even though it's already past, even though we haven't yet come to the new day of Laila, nevertheless, since we have Bias Shemesh, which means Shkia Sachama, We already begin the 81st day, which means that she starts a new malos, and she'll bring a karbon, and any dam that she sees, peshgia, when it's ar liyom shmon v'yechad, is going to be dam tomei, and she's tomei with all the dinim of tumah. Now the Rav is establishing not the rabbanons, but the oraisas. And we see again, over and over again, that although we are trained, it's almost built into our minds to assume that Laila begins with Tseis and Yom continues Peshkia. We're seeing over and over again, whether it's Rabbeinu Yonah with regard to his mitzvahs, whether it's Rabbeinu Tam in terms of the end of the Karban, which is Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyas HaChamo, it's the Ravid, not only in B'dikas Chametz, but even as far as the Melos and the Dam Tomei and the new Karban. All this engenders a new definition of Laila. And Laila now is engendered not by Tseis HaKochavim, but rather by Shkiyas HaChamo. So that's the issue that we want to discuss. So if you happen to have the handout for today, you'll take a look at a paragraph that starts with the words, Al Kol Panim, if you see that paragraph. And by way of introduction to this paragraph, we want to raise the following question. We have a concept called Bein HaShmoshos. Bein HaShmoshos in Halacha is defined as Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila. Exactly when Bein HaShmoshos begins is a big, giant controversy. A plukta gedol. For example, Rabbeinu Tam assumes that Yom continues into a very late period of time, and Bein HaShmoshos will not begin until what we call Shkia Shnia, which means that last period of three quarters of a meal before Tseis HaKochav. Let's call it the last, I'm just rounding it out, the last 15 minutes before Tseis HaKochav. The Gra, on the other hand, the Vilna Gaon, sizes himself up against Rabbeinu Tam. And by the way, Rabbeinu Tam is not just Rabbeinu Tam. It's almost all the Rishonim agree with Rabbeinu Tam. And Chachmei Sfarad agree with Rabbeinu Tam. And we would have assumed that Rabbeinu Tam is absolutely correct. The Shulchan Aruch reflects the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. The Shulchan Aruch paskins you can do Malach on Friday up until three quarters of a meal before Tseis HaKochavim, like Rabbeinu Tam. Because all Chachmei Sfarad agree with Rabbeinu Tam. Comes along the Gaon, and he makes a revolution. And the Gaon says, name, with Shkiyas HaChamo, we begin Bein HaShmoshos. And therefore you can't do Malacha and Bein HaShmoshos with the Shkia, what we call Shkia Rishona. And not only that, you won't be able to dab Mincha with Shkia Rishona, according to the Gaon. And guess what? The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, from the city of Vilna, with all due respect to Vilna, my father came from right near Vilna. But so what? How could the Vilna Gaon be determine a Halacha, and so much of what we do, especially here in Eretz Yisrael, reflects the Gaon, when it's against all the Rishonim Kemal? You might find a Rishon here, a Rishon there, you know, far flow. But it's an amazing historical phenomenon that the Gaon created such a revolution. But be that as it may, whenever we decide about the inception of Bein HaShmoshos, whether it begins with the first Shkia or the second Shkia, one thing is clear. That we are in a very, very big brach, as we call it, a big twilight here, a big ambiguity about Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila. What does that mean, Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila? Is it that the Chachamim couldn't figure out when it's light out and when it's dark out? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So the Rav Zichrono Livracha was learning a sugya in Yevamos. It's called Androgynous. Androgynous, in the Lashon of the Poskim, is called Sofik Zohar, Sofik Nekev. Because the Androgynous has Simone Zacharus and has Simone Nachus. So the Rav proved, in that shiur, again, it's a long, complicated shiur, that it's not the pshat we don't know what an androgynous is. Is it a he or a she? No. Androgynous, because of the fact that it has both Zachrus and Nakvus is both a Zohar and a Kev at the same time. And that creates what the Rav calls a Stira Meneube, or what we call a Hakchasha. It's like trade, two Edom say this, and two Edom say the opposite. Here you have both a Zohar and an Akeva, one at the same time. The word Suffolk here, in the context of androgynous, is a misnomer if we don't understand it precisely. Suffolk doesn't mean we don't know when the androgynous is a Zohar or an Akeva. The androgynous is the product of both a Vadai Zohar and a Vadai Akeva. The Torah sees an antithesis, an antinomy, as we call it. There's a tarti desasre. And as a result of the tarti desasre, because we don't have another word for it, we call it a suffix. But what it really means is that the dinim of Zohar are going to apply, and the dinim of the Kev are going to apply. For example, godless will depend for this individual on Yud Beis Shana. But Mila will be obligatory. Why? Because on the one hand, godless will start at the earliest possible moment through the din of the cave. On the other hand, Mila will be required because there's Zachar's here. She's a Zachar in Torah's fire. It's a Zachar, I don't know what to call it. And the Rav mentioned in that shir that he believes that in general, when you study the halachas of sfeikas, of doubts in halacha, you always have to be very careful and ask yourself, it's almost a methodological question, what is the nature of your suffix? Is it a suffix because the lack of knowledge, what we call in Hebrew, iyadiyah? In other words, the confusion engenders the suffix. And we have many, many such cases. For example, if you claim that I owe you money and I don't know if you owe me money, we have a real suffix. We don't know if I owe you the money, I paid you, I didn't pay. But on the other hand, be careful, because sometimes the word suffix means something totally different. The halacha recognizes the possibility of something being A and not A at the same time. How can it be both A and not A at the same time? That's a hakosha, that's a tarti desasre. That engenders the suffix because of the two vadais that we have.
Unique phenomenon.
And I think the Rav, in this sense, you know, a lot of people study, you know, the development of the methodology of halacha and the shitas halimud. And if you ask me, what did the Rav contribute, my Rebbe contribute, this is one of the major breakthroughs. This new breakthrough, this new concept of a suffix because of two vadais that are mutually exclusive, meaning a suffix not because of iyadiyah, but because of yadiyas hasosro zuetzu, which means a suffix of a tarti, the sasir of Akhosha. This was one of his revolutions. And in the Shir in Yevamos, he mentioned the halacha of Bein Hashmashos, of suffix yom, suffix laila. And I believe that this presentation and this sugya that we're learning is a perfect example of what we mean by a suffix of tarti, the sasir. There's a period of time which is both Yom and Laila at the same time. Not Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. We call it Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. But that's just the result of the fact that it's both Yom and it's Laila at the same time. Meaning that the halacha recognizes two different standards or two different definitions of Yom and Laila. And one of them he calls, let's just look at it inside, let's take the parsha as we saw the other day. Vayikra Elokim la'ar yom v'lachosha kara laila. So what defines, what determines yom and laila? Ar and choshech. That's one halacha. But then the Torah says on the fourth day of creation, Hama'ar agadol, which is reference obviously the Chama, l'mem shelas hayom, liyamim ulamoadim, which means that we have two different definitions of Yom and Laila. From one pasuk, we derive the conclusion that definition of Yom and Laila depends on Yom, excuse me, on Choshech and Or and Choshech. From the other perspective, it depends upon Chama and not Chama. So here's what we have. The sun sets, but there's still Or. How could that be? You have astronomical sunset, but yet you have reflected light from the sun. And therefore, there's light on the horizon. It's not dark yet. From the perspective of Choshech Kara Laila, what do we have? Yom. And that period is Yom. But from the perspective of Hamaor HaGadol, L'memshelas HaYom, if Yom and Laila depend upon the sun, it means the moment the sun sets and it's not visible, that's called astronomical sunset, despite the fact that there's Or. Nevertheless, it is already Laila, based on the pasuk of Yomim Ulamalat. It means then that that period of time, post Shkia, is a Tarti Desasra. Or, to put it another way, it has two different definitions. The status of this period of time, from one perspective, is Yom, and that would be, you know, I hear in my ear Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam is telling me that Yom continues until Tseis HaKochavim. With Tseis HaKochavim, we have Choshech v'Lachoshech Kara Laila, and there's no Laila. This belongs to Yom. You want to daven Mincha? Continue davening Mincha. Okay, you might have a period of time that the last three quarters of a meal, you're not totally sure. There's some sort of suffix. That's already a different kind of suffix. But if you want to talk from the perspective of Yom and Laila, classically we're in Yom and we're not in Laila. But then we have a different definition. That same exact period of time tolerates a definition of Laila because the sun sets. And the language here is very fascinating. I wanted to read this to you if I could. It says the following. I just have to find the page. Just one second. He says, I don't think you have this. Again, it's a massive article. I couldn't focus. Again, I have the old one, so it's not the same as yours. But in the old one, it's Tzadi Tes. You have the old one. Okay, good. Tzadi Tes. I don't know where it is in the new one.
What's it begin with?
The paragraph begins with Vehine. Vehine Yehuyan. So it's the very next paragraph after the one, Rabbi, that you mentioned. Do you see? Vehine Agrav Rabbeinu Tam, the very next one, Vehine Yehuyan. So about 10 lines or 15 lines into that, he says the following. Yeshnam Shnei Musagim Shonim. Bias HaShemesh, which means sunset, and Bias HaOr, which means the absence of light and the beginning of darkness. He says the following. Bias HaShemesh Hi Hashkia Astronomit. Astronomical sunset. B'shosh HaChama Nelemes Mitachas Ofek. Avladayin Lo Nelam Ha'or. Mishum Shekarne HaShemesh Mishtakfim, they reflect itself B'shichvos HaStrof of the atmosphere, Helionis, Beruach Ma'aravis, on the western side. Again, we're going to see the opposite on the eastern side. When the sun begins to rise, that's called Alos HaShachar, but it hasn't yet risen. And what we're going to have is, but in the other direction, we're going to have Or, no, it's the same thing actually. We're going to have Or, but without the Shemesh. Because the Shemesh is not visible until Hanetz HaKam. He says the following. Anu Mekablim, at this moment in time, when the sun sets, we receive Or HaShemesh Ba'ofen Bilti Yashir. Right? Indirect light. Ayidei Shtakfut, which means reflection. Bias Or Mitgashemet. Kishashemesh Marchika Kol Kach Min HaOfek. The sun is so deeply, you know, submerged below the horizon. Acha'ein Karni HaShemesh Ba'im Eilenu Klal Klal. There's no reflected light. No rays of light. Even reflected light. And he says that that moment of time is Choshech, and that's Laila. But the moment of time when the sun sets, is that Laila or is it not? He says it really depends on what your definition is. If you're operating with one definition, namely the definition of Or and Choshech, then you haven't reached Laila yet. It's Yom. If on the other hand you're operating with the definition of Bias HaShemesh, then it's already Laila. And the halacha recognizes both definitions at one at the same time. So Rabbosai, what I would like to do is take this paragraph of the new definition of Safek as Tarte de Sastri, that we have both Yom and Laila at the same time. Yom from the perspective of Lachoshech Kara Laila, but Laila from the perspective of Hama'or HaGadol, because the sun is already set. And let's apply this to Rabbeinu Tam. What Rabbeinu Tam is saying is that both definitions operate, but in two different areas of Halacha. With regard to Kol HaTorah Kula and all the mitzvahs of the Torah, we need Malachoshech Kara Laila. And Rabbeinu Tam is going to insist that the Yom continues until Tzeis. However, says Rabbeinu Tam, there's a new halacha that was established with regard to Kodshim, with regard to the Karban. And Tefillah Keneged Karbanas Tiknum. What's the new halacha in Karban hyphenated Tefillah? There's a new halacha that Yom terminates with Shkiyas HaCham. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam, by quoting the pasuk of B'yom HaKrivo, what Rabbeinu Tam derives from the pasuk of B'yom HaKrivo is a new definition of Yom. And Rabbeinu Tam says that that new definition of Yom is a halach and hakrovas hakarban. And what the Torah is telling me is not that it's Yom, but I can't bring the karban. That's a type, you can't say that at the same time. You can't say in one breath, it's Yom, but I can't bring the karban. I can't be Zorik the Dam. No, it's no longer Yom. That's what Rabbeinu Tam meant to say. Rabbeinu Tam was deriving from halacha of Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyas HaChama that there's another valid halachic definition of Laila. That Laila begins when the sun sets, with astronomical sunset, with Bias Shemesh, because of the pasuk Hamar HaGadol. But how do I know that this halacha of a new definition of Yom operates with regard to Kodshim, with regard to Zrikas Adam, that I derive from B'Yom HaKrivo, that the Torah requires a new standard of Yom? The old standard, universal standard of Yom would have allowed me to, permitted me to go beyond Shkia all the way to when? Till Tzeis. But the Torah now says, no, beyond, there's a new requirement of Yom. When does the day in the Beis HaMikdash terminate? When is the last time to call it B'Yom HaKrivo? The Torah says, oh, there's a new B'Yom, an additional requirement of Yom, and that is you need the Ma'or HaGadol. Once you lose sight of the Ma'or HaGadol, it's no longer visible on the horizon, then it's no longer Yom. That's the Torah adds another Yom to the definition and the requirement of Kodshim Bayom. It's not just one Yom, because if it was only one Yom, we would apply the standard of a universal standard of Yom until Tzeis, but the Torah adds another Pasuk Bayom to give me an additional condition or requirement of Yom. The Chumrah, so to speak, of Yom now requires that the sun be visible, and when the sun is no longer visible, I don't care about Aron Choshech anymore, I now say Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyah Sachama, and then Rabbeinu Tam applies this to what? To Tefillah, and Mincha now has to terminate with Shkiyah Sachama.
But which Shkiyah Sachama is he talking about, the second or the first?
Because
Chassidim don't obviously come
right
into the second.
Right, because they're relying on Rabbeinu Tam's understanding that Yom continues until Laila, and then we're going to have to apply the principle of which definition of Yom v'Laila are we going to use with regard to Mincha, and if we take the definition of Rabbeinu Tam of Shkiyas HaChama, that's one way of going. Another way of going is we're going to take the definition of Shloshes Reveimi. But yeah, Yechiel, I don't know if you can give me two or three more minutes. I'm sorry, I really apologize. I just want to see if I can, you know, hammer this out a little bit further. I want to suggest something about the Ravid. Again, what the Ravid says about Bedikas Chometz or Liar Basar, okay. You want to tell me that the Rabbanan started Bedikas Chometz a little early? I think it becomes a lot sharper in the light of what Rav Soloveitchik is saying, that the Rabbanan, for whatever reason, wanted to use a different standard of Laila. And what engenders Laila? Now that we've validated this new definition of Laila with regard to Kodshim and with regard to Tefillin Rabbein Tam, is Shkia Sacham. So the Rabbanan wanted to use that new definition of Laila. But then we get to the Doraisa Halacha, which the Ravid presents in terms of Mapeles Ar Lishmona V'yechad. Says the Ravid, Mapeles Ar Lishmona V'yechad means Ar, means that actually there's still light there. It's before Tzeis. It's after Shkia. And therefore it's Shmona V'yechad. So I'm just trying to, again, you have to bear with me, I'm trying to formulate these ideas. We have halacha, it's a sugin in Chagiga and other places, of shiurim. Shiurim. The definition of shiurim, when you measure something in halacha, has to be precise. Precision is a precondition in shiur. The two definitions of Yom and Laila, I think, are fundamentally different one from the other with regard to precision. If you're asking me when there is no longer light and when it's dark, you know what? That's a process. That develops over the course of a period of time. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that from Shkia until Tzeis is 4 milim. That's 72 minutes. During that 72 minutes, there's a gradual process in which darkness takes over for light. But there is a confusion, so to speak. Man doesn't really have the tools to measure when it's still light or and when is it choshech. I mean, at some point you could certainly say there's no light anymore. But maybe when there's a little bit of light, but it's 90% of darkness, that's already considered choshech. V'la choshech kara laila. It's very difficult from the perspective of shiurim to use your standard of R and Choshech. Are you with me so far? But where do I have the possibility, within what context or what definition of Yom V'Laila, to pinpoint a specific moment in time and say that scientifically, this is Laila? I don't think so. I think Tzeis is a problem. Because again, Tzeis means Choshech. And I don't know exactly when Choshech takes over. You know, you have three stars and so on, that's pure Choshech. But when there's a new halach of Shi'urim, then I require a precise moment. Here I think we have to operate with a different definition. Exactly, sunset. I can scientifically measure when the sun, at any given point on the face of the globe, is no longer visible on the horizon. Again, there's light that's reflected. And in Ar and Choshech, I'm a little bit confused. I don't know when it's enough Choshech to be considered Laila, or when it's still enough Ar to be considered Yom. But if you ask me, can I pinpoint a moment in time when there's a transition? The Ofen Chotech, as we say in Hebrew, you can take a razor sharp blade and cut it. Then you're dealing, I think, with another definition. Which definition?
Shkia. Most of the time, I don't know if it's true, but let's just say most of the earth, you don't actually see a horizon. The hills, the mountains, could be valleys.
Okay, that might be a problem for hills and valleys. But if I would go to the point in which the horizon ends, I could definitely tell you exactly when it is.
Isn't there some sort of Florida, you can have three stars out, but the western horizon still have light. So, one circle.
Interesting. And there are places on the face of the earth where it's not clear exactly when, you know, which stars, you know, there's what's called Kochav Beinanim and Kochav Gedolim. I mean, all this is a big... I mean, it gets really complicated when you're talking about Ar and Choshech. But when you're talking about Shkia, at least grant me that Shkia is one specific moment in time. It can be measured scientifically. It's an astronomical phenomenon. What I'd like to suggest is that the Ravid is of the opinion that with regard to the halacha of Yoledes, of Mapeles, and Tumas Leda, there's a halacha of Shi'urim. We're not talking about Yom V'Layla from the perspective of Or and Choshech, because the Ravid is of the opinion that there's something called Shi'urim. There's something that requires absolute precision. And that, I think, is engendered by the halacha of Sfira. Sfira means I have to count, and I have to reach a certain number, and when I make the transition between one number and the other, which is called in halacha a malos. For example, some say that the reason why the last day of Avelus could end with Shkia and alleviate all the, remove all the dinim of Shkia is because of Safek Avelus Lakula. Now we could say something even better than that. The reason why Shkia will determine your day of Avelus is because Avelus is halacha of Malos. That means we're counting, and when we get to a certain number, whether it's 7 or whatever the number might be, 30 or Yud Beis Chodesh, that's when we have a full shear of Avelus. The Avel, Rachman al-Islan, has fulfilled his Shi'urim in Avelus. Malos means this is how many days you have to fulfill. You have a certain number of days of Tara, in the case of Yoledes, or in the case of Yoledes Nekeva, Yoledes Zachar, you have a certain number of days of Tumah, and days of Dam Tohar, and at some point we say, Genug Shai, you fulfilled your Shir. That's what it means to complete your Malos. Malos means to it should be Bale, it should be filled. If this be the case, Rabosai, then perhaps we can shed a light on the Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is operating with two different definitions of Yom V'Layla, and they both apply. And there's no objection to that, because the Torah itself recognizes two different definitions of. I'm sorry, you wanted to say something before, and I got a little bit off on. I was trying to figure out a trail to the Ravid. You know,
it was maybe a two-part question. I wanted also.
Give me the easy part first.
Well,
give me the good news first.
For the sake of consistency, going back to the question we heard before, one of the things that seems unmovable is that the halach is dan nifsal b'shkis achad. It doesn't say dan nifsal b'sof hayom, which would be therefore subject to the definition. Shkis achad seems to be it's in stone. So in which case, if you hold, like we heard before, that whether it's the chassidish element or whatever, somebody who holds that the Rabbeinu Tam's definition of when you can dan mincha is a later shkia, do they therefore mean that dan nifsal at a later time too for consistency? Or do they break away from the concept that mincha has to do with karbanos? Where are they consistent? They can't be inconsistent and say mincha has to follow karbanos, but by the way, mincha can start and later than karbanos. Right? That was question number one.
That question, I don't know if it's easy. I wouldn't say it's an easy question, but I think we can deal with that question. I don't know if I can give you an answer right this moment. So if you'll give me a little bit more time, we'll try to do it. Because that question has a lot to do with the machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Gaon, and the Shagas Aryeh, and the whole business about Tchila Shkia and Shkia Rishona and Shkia Shnia. Exactly how this halach of Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sechama impacts on Tfilas Mincha in the Lamaisa, that we have to take under advisement. My only point was that, in a general sense, conceptually, Rabbeinu Tam is not saying that in the middle of the day the dam becomes nifsal. What Rabbeinu Tam, I think, is operating with, and I can only say this in the light of Rav Soloveitchik's breakthrough, is a new definition of day.
Well, first, the second question. The concept of the pasuk is that Ubayom HaKrivo, which is the source of the idea that saying that dam is the Shkia Sechama, I'm trying to understand, why is that the source? Or is that pasuk mean? Well, okay, how would you say the how would the pasuk be said in a different way if it meant the later definition of quantum
Tom? No, I'm saying there's an extra pasuk. It's a superfluous pasuk.
Maybe I missed it. What are the two pasukim? I see Biyom HaKrivot.
I think it says Biyom HaKrivot twice. Oh, I mean, I'll tell you where to look that up. I don't have the time to do it now, but if you bring me a Gemara Zvachim and you turn to Daf Nun Vav Hamid Beis, you'll see the sugya there derives from an extra pasuk of Biyom HaKrivot, which sort of upgrades, you know, it ups the ante on what your definition of yom is, the way we're saying it now.
Okay.
According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's vada yom until Beit HaShmosha is 15 minutes before it's 6.
Okay.
It's vada yom. So according to him, even Don Hitzel would go until that time. Not to Shkir Rishon, it's Shkir Shina. In fact, according to Shabbos, which is Din D'Oraisa Koras, you're allowed to do malacha after Shkir.
So that
it's
would
dark outside,
that would support the Hasidim, I think, wouldn't it not?
Certainly. Yeah. They hold by the Rabbeinu Tam.
Okay, good. Great.
And it's only the last couple hundred years that we moved from Rabbeinu Tam to the Gra.
Right.
And we bench licht 18 minutes before Shkir. By them, you bench lift, and the Shulchan Aruch says, a half an hour before Tzeis, which is long after Shkir.
Right. So Yechiel, if you want to look for the Tosus in Zvachim, I gave out, I think, page Tzadi Dalet the other day. So if you look, there's where he presents the drush of Biyom HaKriva.
What
page, Tzadi Dalet. Again, if you have the photocopies that that we gave out. Or if you have the original with the old printing, which I think you have.
Yeah.
Okay, I see it's getting yellow already, yeah, so you have the... I never wanted to buy the new one because I have all my notes, and whenever I write a note, I write on page so and so, and then if I use the new one,
there are suffers in the new one.
There are suffers.
Yeah, because the pace of pagination is quite different.
Uh-huh. So they added things.
They added things. They corrected things.
Interesting. Wonder how they did that. Maybe they have the Rav's writings. I don't know.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Which I don't want you to answer now, but going back to the whole principle of day one and day four.
Right.
As far as I know, the light on day one had nothing to do with day and night or the sun. This was some sort of spiritual, ethereal light, which was nothing to do with day and night. And so how does the Rav not have...
But it's interesting, when Chazal want to derive conclusions about when is Yom and when is Laila, they quote this pasuk. In other words, Vayera Vayvoker Yom Echad, I mean, we haven't even gotten to the fourth day, you know, the Moros haven't been created yet, and yet we're distinguishing between day and night. Chazal seeing that, a definition of Or and Choshech. Now, the fact that the Or and Choshech were rotating, you know, switching off for the first 3 days, that's the source by definition of Yom and Laila. So it's interesting, you know, what the metaphysical nature of that R was. Yeah, I think on the first day you had a metaphysical R that was put away for the tzaddikim loss of lava. But but where this R and Choshech came from on a scientific level, that's an interesting question. But halachically, it's R and Choshech, and those are going to set the standards for the mitzvahs and Kol HaTorah.
They don't worry about that.
I don't know. You're asking a good question. I don't know. That's a methodological question. I think so. I think that Sphira might begin with Shkia Sachama.
That's where you're going.
Because if Sphira is a halach of Shi'urim, you know, I had yesterday, and now yesterday came to its fulfillment, you know, it's the Malos, you know, I had a Malos through Sphira, then that came to fulfillment at some sort of precise moment in time, which would be Shkia.
So when do we consider the 49 days?
Maybe Chanukah also. They're Chanukah.
The Rav's Makbi to light by Shmira. When did the Rav count Shmira?
I don't know. I remember he talked about Shmira before Shavuos. He gave a shiur about Shmira. And I think I don't want to pinpoint it, but what I remember from the shiur was that he would definitely count early, and I know that in Ner Chanukah he lit early. I don't know if he lit exactly at Shkia, but certainly he didn't wait till Tzeis.
When do we consider the Rav's consider we've completed all the 49 days?
You mean to be makabel kedushas hayom v'shvut?
To meet the definition of tmimos.
It could be that the halach of tmimos, this is a fascinating idea that just occurred to me, that additional halach of sfira of tmimos might introduce our universal definition of yom and lila, meaning enochinami, you fulfilled your mitzvah of sfira of the 49th sfira with Shkia Sachama going into the 50th day, but nevertheless the Torah adds the word Tmimos as a separate halacha that requires our extended definition of day that takes us until Tzeisa Kochovim, maybe. I don't know.
Is a recent phenomenon. They misunderstand the word Tmimos. It refers to you have to count at the appropriate time. It doesn't mean it has to be till dark. It's only the last couple of hundred years that they...
But whatever it is, Minhag Yisrael Torah, I would say that minhag might fit into our whole structure here, because maybe that minhag is based on a new definition of tmimos. For Rabosai, let's see if we can get back to Rabbeinu Yonah. So what I want you to take a look at is the following. This is on the bottom of Kuf Gimel, which I think you got today, going on to Kuf Dalet. He says the following. The paragraph starts with Al Kol Panim. He says, Shnei Shemos Yom V'Laila Nemru L'Gabi Arvis. Now, with regard to Tful Yom, the Torah says Uba Hashemesh V'Toher. So again, we're not learning Tful Yom now. Hopefully we'll get to it a little bit. We'll touch on it. But since the Torah says Uba Hashemesh V'Toher, one could ostensibly argue that when can he become Torah? With Shkia. Now, we're no longer talking about Bias Oro, but we're talking about Bias Shimsho. Remember, we had those two definitions. And that's what he writes over here, that one definition is derived from Parshas Tful Yom. Now, we've been insisting that the source for this new definition of Yom and Laila at Shkia is the Parsha on the fourth day of Ma'or HaGadol. Now we have another, perhaps even a clearer source in the Torah for it, namely, Ba'uba Shemesh V'Torah in Tful Yom. V'utoli Rak B'Shkia. Again, there's going to be a machlokas tanoim, and it's going to be a machlokas shin rabbeinu tam and the gaon exactly when is shkia. But everybody agrees to the concept that Tful Yom can be metar himself with shkia. Why? Because the day of tumah has terminated, and now the new day has begun. So that means Lila begins with shkia. On the other hand, Hasheni, there's another definition, which is predicated, he says, on the parsha of Vayikra Akim La'or Yom La'choshekar Laila, and therefore, since even though you've passed astronomical Shkia, but nevertheless you have sun that's reflected on the horizon, you haven't yet reached the state of Choshech, and therefore Yom still continues to exist. He says, V'nira, it appears to me, D'shtei halachot nifadot klulot b'parshiot elu. He says you have two definitions of Yom V'Laila in these parashiyot. On the one hand, he says Parashas Tful Yom sets up a Chal Hashem Laila V'Yom. Okay, let's see if we can sink our teeth into this definition. He says the halacha of Shkia is halacha in Chal Hashem Yom and Laila. So now Shkia becomes the point of transition between Yom and Laila. Shkia Shem Chadesh Shem Laila. But the Shkia itself now, from the perspective of the Parsha Tful Yom, has the power of engendering a Shem Laila. On the other hand, the emphasis, he says, in Parshas Bereishis, he says, Ofi V'Tiur Hazman Mitzad Atzma. Do you see those words?
Yeah.
So I have to tell you, truthfully, honestly, this is what I call gibberish. Honestly, this is totally obscure. I'm going to try to give it to you the way I understand it. But, you know, if somebody, and I don't know if anyone is taking upon themselves to do this, it would be a great contribution, I think, to Torah literature. If somebody would translate, you know, they're translating everything into English. Why not translate Shirim L'Zecher HaMari into English? They're two volumes. But in any event, if you translate these words literally, I think they would be totally confusing to us. But I'm going to emphasize the word, the words mitzad atzma. You see those two words? I'm going to try to see if I can build a castle on this foundation. He says the following, that if you are asking the following question, when is, do you remember, Rabosei, that 2 days ago we spoke about Zman Yom and Zman Laila? Do you remember that? I don't know if you, I had asked you maybe to write it down, but I don't know if you did. It doesn't matter, I'm not going to reprimand you because you're a mature man and you're not... Zman Shel Yom. So that concept of Heftza Shel Yom and Heftza Shel Laila, I think the Rav here in this particular presentation identifies with the words Mitzad Atzmo. Here he calls it Heftza Shel Yom, Heftza Shel Laila. Here he calls it Mitzad Atzmo. The other concept, which we called Zman Yom and Zman Laila, that he calls Chal Hashem Yom and Chal Hashem Laila. And I think what he's saying is the following, that which of the two operating definitions of Yom V'Laila apply when? And the answer is, says the Rav, it depends what you're addressing. If you're addressing whether or not this particular period of time, let's call it a slice of time, right? From T1 to T2. Is that period of time okay for Yom or okay for Laila, what we called on Monday Zman Yom and Zman Laila? Then we're going to operate with Shkia. If on the other hand you're asking a question about not a specific period of time, but you're asking about Yom and Laila, in other words, it's not that I'm addressing, you know, a period of time, and I'm asking, well, where does that fit in? You know, can I use it for Mitzvah Sayom? Or can I use it for Mitzvah Salaila? You know, what is it suitable for? Or I'll use the word Hechsher Yom and Hechsher Laila. Correct? But rather, I'm going to ask a different question. Now, not Hechsher Yom and Hechsher Laila on a particular limited, circumscribed period of time, which we can box off, as I called it, T1, T2. But rather, I'm talking about the abstract concept of Yom and Laila. My definition in abstract of Yom V'Laila depends upon Seis HaKochavim. Because the Torah says that Yom and Laila is identical with Or and Choshech. So my Or and Choshech variables will determine the abstract definition of Yom and Laila. But when I bring it down to specifics, and I ask if this period of time can be used for Mitzvah HaYom, that's what I call Heksher Yom, or can I use it for Mitzvah HaLaila, which I call Heksher Laila, or the Rav here in this presentation calls it Chal Hashem Yom or Chal Hashem Laila, can I give it a Chal Hashem so that I can benefit from it in one way or the other, then my definition is Ma'ar Agadol is Shkia Sacham. Or Hanei Sacham in the morning. So Shkia Sacham will terminate the day, and now I have already a Zman which is Mukhshar for Laila. If you ask me from the you know, if I take a 24-hour period of time as a unit of a day, again, that's in English it gets a little confusing. I don't mean a day as opposed to a night, but I'm saying a full Yamama, a full day, then I need Choshech. And therefore, I could not use the period of time post-Shkia, after sunset, and call it Laila. The Torah doesn't allow me to do that. It's not Choshech. La Choshech or Laila. And Yom is called R. I have R, and therefore it's Yom. What allows me to take this period of time post-Shkia and call it Yom? The answer is because there's a new halach which is derived from the Ma'ar HaGadol, or derived from Tful Yom of Via Shemesh, which makes it Yom until Shkia and makes it Laila after Shkia. So the period of time after Laila Is it Shkia? I'm sorry. The period of time after Shkia. Start again. The period of time after Shkia. Is it Lila or is it Yom? And the answer is it's both. You'll ask me, how can it be both? You're saying A and not A at the same time. The answer is because that suffix is a suffix, says the Rav, of Tarti de Sasre, of A and not A at the same time. What two definitions am I operating with? Says the Rav, if you're operating with the question of Yom or Lila, then it's Yom. But if you're operating with the question of specifying, of targeting and focusing one particular slice of time and asking, is it Mukshar? Does it have a din of Zman Laila? The answer is it already has a din of Zman Laila. And what is my basis for calling it Zman Laila? The answer is Bi Ashimsho. Bi Ashimsho gives me the license to call it a Zman HaMukshar LaLaila. So, for example, if we come now to Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah is going to say that if I want to ask a question about a period of time, I started Mincha with Mincha Gedolah. And now I want to know, how long does Mincha Gedolah extend? Can I still take a period of time?
I'm sorry.
Let me say it a little differently. I apologize again if I'm a little bit confusing because I'm working this out together with you. What I mean to say is the following. If I would isolate... Okay, so what I said before is not incorrect, even though I stopped myself in the middle of the sentence, but it's really not incorrect. If you ask me about how long I should be able to daven Mincha... I began with Mincha Gedolah. Can I continue even after Shkia? Because now I want to know if that period of time post Shkia could still be considered Yom as a Hechsher Zman for Mincha. My answer should be what? No. Yes. Why is it no, Michael?
Because of the Korban.
Because of the Korban. You hear what I'm saying? If not for the Halach of Korban, says Rabbeinu Yonah, if you were to bracket the halacha of dam nifsal b'shkia sacham. That's why Rabbeinu Yonah is so dependent upon insisting on introducing Rabbeinu Tam and his understanding of dam nifsal b'shkia sacham. But if you were to bracket that consideration, then you could take that period of time and call it mukshar liyom. And extend Mincha. The reason I can't do that, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is for a different reason. Because Tfilas Keneged Korbanos Tikkun. Now ask myself the question about Ma'ariv. Can I take that time slice, that time period, post Shkia, before Seis, and call it Laila? For what din? Tfilas Arvis, before we get to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Can I call that period as Zman HaMukhsha LeLaila? Kosha LeMitzvus HaLaila? The answer is yes. The definition of Laila in abstract is kicked off by Choshech, which means Tseis. So how can I have Ma'ariv before Tseis? The answer is, says Rabbeinu Yonah, because this, he calls it Miktas Laila. What does he mean by Miktas Laila? He means that this Zman is Mukhshar, to be called Laila as a Hechsher for the mitzvah of Arvis. Okay, wait a minute, just give me 1 second. And where in the Torah do I have some sort of precedent, some sort of peg to hang my hat on? The answer is, Bi Ashimsho, because the Torah says in Tful Yom, Uba HaShemesh V'Toher, which means that period of time post Shkia already begins to the new day, meaning to, it's already engenders Laila as far as Tful Yom is concerned for his transition between Tum and Tara. That already gives me a precedent, so to speak, to go one step further and say that this Zman post Shkia is Mukshar Lios Laila. And Rabbeinu Tam goes a step. Rabbeinu Yonah goes a step further, and he applies it to Birchas Kriyat Shema. Where does Rabbeinu Yonah get that from? How does he know that with regard to Birchas Kriyat Shema, I can expand my definition in this case of Laila, going backwards, if you follow what I mean, and chop this period of time post Shkia and call it Laila? Why does Rabbeinu Tam feel comfortable doing it? And the answer is because Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the Gemara on Daf Ches, and the Gemara on Daf Ches allows me to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Birchas Kriyat Shema past Amud HaShachar as late as Hanetzachama. Wait a minute. Amud HaShachar is Yom. Why? Because the Torah says Vilaor Kora Yom. There's already aura on the horizon. Again, I can't see the sun. The sun hasn't risen, but I experience the benefit of the reflected light called Amud HaShachar. No, if it's light, it's called Or. I'm in Yom. And you're telling me that I could recite Kriyas Rashal Harvest? Is Doch Rabbi Yonah sees in this Sugyan Daf Ches a precedent for this new definition of Zman Laila? That a period of time which really belongs to Yom, in terms of the, if you use the word Chefza Shal Yom, meaning if you're talking in abstract about what a Yom is, the answer is that it's Yom with Amud HaShachar, because I have our name. But there's another halacha of Hechsher Zmanim, and in the context of Hechsher Zmanim, I have a right to quote the pasuk of Bi Hashemesh, which means Shkia Sachama, and I have a right to say that Yom is engendered with Hanetzachama, and up until Hanetzachama, it's still Lila, and therefore I can be Yotze Birchas Kriyach. Again, we're not up to Kriyach right yet, but I'm saying, so we have that. Oh, Abazoi, if this be the case, I think I begin to see the light, pardon the pun, as far as Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim. Zotcha Ben Yonah. Where does it say Lila in the pasuk? It doesn't say Lila in the pasuk, and it doesn't say Ubishal Bacha in the pasuk, which might mean Lila. So Rabbeinu Tam asks himself the question, so how do you know Bichlalit is a mitzvah of Zechlitz Yisrayim Belaila? You know it from Kol Yimei Chayecha. Oh, Kol Yimei Chayecha, the word Kol Yimei Chayecha is telling you Zmanei Laila. Kol Yimei Chayecha. Really, we start with Yom, but now the Torah says Kol Yimei Chayecha. The Kol Yimei Chayecha tells me that we're operating with a definition of Laila that fits the glove of Zmanei Laila. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, what's Zmanei Laila? After Shkia. And therefore, when you come home from the Beis HaKnesses, you'll recite Kriyat Shema, because that requires your abstract definition, what we call the Chefza Shel Laila, and that requires Tzeis, but you don't have to repeat the third paragraph, the parasha of Kriyat Shema, because you were Yotze Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim after Shkia, before Tzeis HaKol.
How do you know which mitzvot require Chefza
Shalayla? I think it works like this. If you're talking about Yom and Laila, then you need a Chefza Shal Yom and a Chefza Shal Laila. But if you're talking about a period of time that you could isolate, which lends itself to two definitions, depending upon whether you're using Parshas Bereishis, or as the Rav says here, Parshas Tful Yom. If you're isolating a period of time and asking yourself, is that period of time mukshar? When you come to Kriyat Shema, you want to know Zmanei Yom and Zmanei Laila. That's what I call Chefta in the Rav's definition. Why? Because the Torah says recite Kriyat Shema twice every day. Once by Yom and once by Laila. In such a case, I have no right to play games and limit periods of time. I've got to get my definition of Yom, and I've got to get my definition of Laila. However, if you are able to ask about specific mitzvahs, where the Torah doesn't say Yom and Laila, the Torah doesn't say within a 24 period of time, split that period of time into Yom and Laila. For example, says Rabbeinu Yonah, the Torah says Kol. Or according to Rabbeinu Tam, in the case of Dam Nifsal Bishkias Chama, the Torah says Biyom Hikrivo, introducing a brand new definition of Yom. Or in the Ravitz frame of reference, when you're talking about a Malos, and when you talk about a Malos, the Torah wants to tell us that Malos has to terminate at a very precise period of time, which I call Shiurim, then you define it as Shkia Sachama. So again, there are three different answers to your question, Rabbi, and they're all correct. When am I permitted, when do I have the license to apply, to introduce the new definition of Yom and Laila, which is not your abstract definition of Yom and Laila, but rather the din of Zmanim, which is derived based, which the source of which is Bias Shemesh in Tvul Yom, The answer is threefold. Number one, you can use Ubi HaShemesh when the Torah says that a yesterday has come to a conclusion, which that's what I call the Malos, or the 80th day of her Malos Tumah has come to a conclusion. Apply the halach of Ubi HaShemesh, that's the rivalry. In Tful Yom, the Torah says, he was Tomei for a day, that day comes to a conclusion. When does it terminate? With Ubi HaShemesh. I'm not interested in defining Yom and Lila. But when it comes, okay, and Myriv, you want to know, when does Myriv begin? Can I consider it Lila with Shkia Sachama? And the answer is, you want to determine whether that period of time has a Hechsher Lila? The Hechsher Lila is engendered by the Pasuk, Bia Shimshon.
If the Pasuk of Lila has a Korban Pesach, is it
being
talked about Lila?
Correct. Because the Torah is saying, be makriv the Korban by day, and eat the Korban by night. Is the that's the Shavuch of Kumecha by Kriyat Shema. You should recite Kriyat Shema by day and you recite Kriyat Shema by night. Those definitions are absolute in the abstract sense. When is Yom and when is Lila? And those two are mutually exclusive. It's either Yom or Lila. The Torah is pointing to the parish of Bereishis. Choshech is Lila. Or is Yom. And never the twain shall meet. There's no overlap. But if you're talking about a case where either you're completing the previous day, and that completion is a malos, which means a fulfillment, or I don't know what term to use in English, it's very hard, you're counting a day, and you want to know when your counting has completed itself, here the Torah is not defining Yom and Lila. The Torah is saying, when is the period of Yom complete? And that gives me license to apply the definition of what? Of Uba HaShemesh V'Toher. And just one second. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, I'm going to take this even a step further. I'm going to tell you that if you want to know when is the Zman HaMukshel Tfilas Arvus, and you're looking for some definition of Lila, I'm going to introduce a Mitzas Lila. The Mitzas Lila means that as far as Tfilas Arvus is concerned, and again, it may be connected, as Michael just left, but as he said many times, with the fact that Mincha has terminated with Shkiyas Hachama, and now my new definition of Mitzas Lila allows me to daven Mayriv after Shkia. And with regard to the Rabbeinu Yonah's Kal Vachomer, he says, well, wait a minute, if you can daven and fulfill Kriyat Shema, or at least the Drabbanans of Kriyat Shema, you could fulfill with the period of time of Alos HaShachar, that's the Sugyan Daf Ches, then the conclusion you have to derive is that there's a new halach with regard to Lila for Tfilas Arvis and for Birchas Kriyat Shema of Hechsher Zman Lila. It's Yom in the abstract definition, the Chefter Shel Yom, but yet it's a Zman HaMukshel Lila. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, I can apply that at the beginning of the Lila as well, and I have a right to say that let's look not at Or and Choshech, but let's look at the Ma'or HaGadol, at the Chama, and let's define when it's Lila. Lila begins with Shkia Sachama, and Lila ends with Hanetzacham.
Practical enough.
I'm not sure if I covered all your questions, but
when does a fast day end? In terms of eating, it's a question of Malos, the end of the day by Shia, as I've heard in the name of the Rav and many other people.
Again, I don't know what the Rav says, but if you would ask me based on what we've established now, just conceptually, without looking at the poskim, I would say that one could argue that Shkia completes the Tainus. And the reason is, now the question is like this. If Lu Yitzuyah, again, I don't have a case for you. Maybe Yom Kippur would fit into this, I don't know. But if Lu Yitzuyah had a following div, that the Torah requires Lila and the Torah requires Yom, then I would say we have to take it all the way until Seisakol. If somebody would argue that Yom HaKippur, again, this sounds absolutely crazy, but let's the mind wander into the abstract world. If somebody would postulate that Yom HaKippur is not a 24-hour continuum, but rather Yom HaKippur is made up of two distinct elements, Lila and Yom. Right? How do we say in the piyut there? and on the night of Yom Kippur, Yale Tachnuneinu Me'erev. And what does it say afterwards? V'yavo b'boker. If somebody would say that Yom and Laila are tzvei dinim, are two heftes with regard to Yom HaKippurim, then I would argue that Yom HaKippurim begins with tzeis and ends with tzeis. In other words, Laila begins with choshech, and the day terminates with choshech. So you're going to take it from tzeis until tzeis. Again, just as a theoretical postulate, just to see if we're getting a grasp on the way these.
Isn't this more theory
of what Eric told? Correct. And now we're saying it's not a mixture of both, because we don't know what it is. We don't know what the baby looks like, or what name to give the baby. We're saying it's Ma'ura because it's Taka both Yom and Laila, depending upon two halachically or biblically validated definitions of Yom HaLayla. Two different definitions that the Bible itself, Scriptures, is working with. But both sides. On Monday, Mitzvah Hashem, B'li Neder, I want to start Masech the Brachos. All my Hakdamah stuff. Because otherwise, I can go on. This article is like 30 pages long. I don't know what it is. I would say that we covered maybe 10 pages out of the article, but I think, again, Hashem, I can't ask the rope, but Hashem would grant us that we got the kishkas of the article. Am I totally smooth with it? That I'm not going to tell you. Do I have it down pat? And I've read a lot of the Rav Shirim in this, and this is a doozy. I'm telling you, this is a complicated one. But B'li Neder, we want to start the Mishnah, the Gemara, try to get to the bottom of Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We'll talk a little about Tvul Yom, maybe, and Gemara Rashi and Tosis.
I hear you right. Did we put Mincha also into the same slot as Ma'ariv or not? Did you definitely stop Mincha?
There's Rabbeinu Tam about Tati the Sasri, which we spoke about a week ago. Yeah. But I wasn't working with the Tati the Sasri today.
But it ended up that Mincha also can go into the same slot.
No, the reason why it can't is because both Rabbeinu Yonah and Rabbeinu Tam insist that since Tfilos Keneged Karbanos Tiknu, and the day ends with Shkia Sachama, again, what that Shkia is, so the halach is that Mincha has
to. I just thought.
No, what I said was that theoretically, meaning based on everything we're discussing, the emes is that Mincha should continue until Tzeis. But we're blocked by a different halacha of Karban. That the day of Karban ends with Shkia Sachama.
You have to choose one.
He said 18 minutes, stop and I would make a bullet and run like the wind. The same conversation he told me. Like things all comes and on the skier, including before, those are the exact words.
Which is
right. But what would you say about Yom Kippur? That's what I'm curious about.
We didn't discuss.
Yeah, right.
So I don't want to say.
Right.
He said all comes
and they're going to Mincha.
And he said exact word, including.
How's that possible?
I remember the words as if he was telling me them today.
You heard from a Baron or was?
No, from a Baron directly.
You heard from a Baron.
I spoke directly to
him. I mean. Did he say, I mean?
And he heard it in the name of the Rav. I mean, that makes sense according to the Quran in a sense.
Okay, Rabosai. I mean, I made an effort. This is hours and hours of work.
Yeah,
and some of the language is just.
Okay.
I mean, in the introduction, they say this is the Rav's pen, but I don't know. It's so different. You read, for example, the Igris of the Grid. It's a whole different language. I wouldn't even call them both the same Lashikov. It's two.
By Gracious, it says Vayi Erev, Vayi Bo. It doesn't say Vayi Laila, Vayi Bo.
Right.
So there must be some very Hashivos to this period.
Right. Yeah. Shkai. Thanks so much. Have a safe trip if I don't see you.